Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, citizens of the world. This is Padmini Arhant, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com. The impression, long time no hear, is understandable. All that I can say is I have always been here. The only difference is helping people with crisis elsewhere. That I have been doing since childhood, whatever I could, however possible, to make others' lives better. Today's topic is going to be gender, specifically womanhood. Although I published this article titled Womanhood in the 21st Century, I feel and believe this topic deserves more attention in honor of those women whose voices are barely heard, and their suffering is generational. Fortunate are those women born into the family and background where everything is made available to them on a platter. To these women, they are claimed as an entitlement. Ambitions and dreams are not something that is a far-fetched imagination, but in fact comes as an entitlement. That is not always the case for majority of not just women, humans in the world. Many have to strive and struggle in their life to get anywhere where they want to be in life. For women, it is even more challenging. They are confronted with social impediments, political instability, even wars if they are in a nation that is gripped with wars, ongoing wars, and then in peace times, these women are dealing with the usual, archaic customs and traditions. You know, if it's a tribal situation or environment, and then they have in the remote regions and locations, there are lack of basic facilities, electricity, water, and of course food. So they have to work hard from morning till night to provide for their family, and many even they participate in a financial contribution. That is, they also work in the fields if they are engaged in agricultural field or occupation. And then there are those who work in industries, small-scale industries or businesses. So they are really doing whatever they can to improve their economic situation in family. So this is not just applicable to women in urban areas, also in the rural parts of the world. Women are really doing a great deal to keep their family, to provide for their family, and help with the family situation. In terms of social problems, women, how are they being viewed by society? My reference is to the issues that subject women to some astonishing, revelations, like infanticide. Female infanticide in certain society, where female babies are rejected. This happens at the moment of birth. So even before she starts experiencing life, the female child is rejected by the family, or, you know, the mother or father, mother and father, the parents, if they think that, you know, they were expecting a male child and they have the desire for a male child and then they end up having a female child, then, you know, they want to abandon. They just simply abandon the child. The female infanticide has been a problem as well in, you know, some society. And then there are in other parts of the world, you know, female children or women, for that matter, they are subject to some gross inhumane practices like genital mutilation. Then there are regions in the world where women are confronted with practices like honor killings. I mean, how honorable is this honor killing? I do not understand. Now, if you're really trying to explain to your daughter or sister, as the case might be, you know, about whatever, you know, she's doing has brought disrespect or disdained family honor, then killing that woman, is that going to be any honorable? You know, this is what I really do not understand, how, you know, this can be even justified. But again, I suppose, you know, this is about the mindset of those who involve in such actions. And this also speaks about the lack of social development to resolve issues in a more peaceful and humane way, rather than, you know, adopting such methods like honor killings, which is only going to be disrespectful and painful, to say the least, not only for the victim but also for the family. This is murdering someone is considered an honor. To defend the honor of the family, I don't think, you know, this is intelligent or, you know, has any makes any sense. However, that is being clarified or justified in terms of their action. Then there are women who have to deal with the family traditions. Then, of course, that bars them from, you know, higher education. If not family tradition, they might be in a region where, you know, there are factions who are opposed to female seeking higher education. This is all to, you know, restrict women's progress and advancement in life, which I think is a tragedy. And then for, you know, women empowerment is not going to be a setback in society. Allowing women to get a higher education qualifications, and then that in return enable them to be gainfully employed and lead them towards financial security I mean, how could this possibly be considered a problem in a family? So this is not about, like, as I said, I don't think any family wants to do this. This is, again, there are some factions who have issues. This is going back to the Talibanism, for instance, in Pakistan and Afghanistan, where they are opposed to women's education, for they perhaps think that educating women means that is going to pose or threaten male dominance in society, which again is inconceivable in good and bad times. Women really come forward and provide every possible support to a man. Even this is supposed to be, the man's world. Where will this world be without a woman? Can the world even come into existence without a woman? That is what they need to think about. And so when we discuss about womanhood, these are all the factors that beckons attention and consideration. So when I touch base on these issues, I feel that, these women, they are trying to reach out any form of assistance and support that they can receive, so that they can improve their life and their situations. Some of them are even fearful for their lives, for they feel that they have no other way or means, and simply resign to their conditions, the existing conditions, as their fate. They accept them as the fate, which is not necessary. For these women need to understand that today's world, in the information age, even if they are not able to approach the outside world for assistance, the world that has access and has information technology and so many other means that are available to them, they can go to these women and provide help and assistance that they need and require for their survival and further development in life. In other areas, what I would like to say about womanhood is women do participate at every level, not necessarily in the domestic front, but professionally, women are, they are designated with important tasks and responsibilities. They are heading corporations, elected as prime ministers and presidents in politics, and then there are women in science and medicine and in arts and entertainment and so on. So in that respect, women's progress is commendable. But then, as I said, the women that I'm concerned about are these women who are expected to remain in the oppressed state or situation, not just in their lifetime, but this becomes a generational experience. It's not just with the mother, then it continues with the daughter, then then, you know, the granddaughter and so on, if they happen to live in that part of the world and society, which is deeply regrettable in my view, that, you know, they are not able to emancipate themselves from that, life, the sheltered life, and life without hope and any sign of progress. So they do not necessarily have to, you know, consider that as their destiny. If the world reaches out to them and provide them with the necessary support that they need, then I'm sure that these women can make headways and become what they want to be in their life. I would also like to talk about women's security. You know, when you really come to think of it, women's struggle is not just in the rural areas or in remote parts of the world. Women are vulnerable in the urban areas more than in any part of the world. In, for instance, you know, women are continuously targeted, and many of them are subject to this situations of rape. You know, any society or nation that is not able to guarantee safety and security of their women, women who are allowed and can freely move about and move around in day and night, when they have to go places where they have to be somewhere, say for instance there is a medical emergency in the family and the only the women folk have to go with the patient, and then they need to go from their home to the hospital. And then, you know, in those situations where women have to, you know, do what they're expected to do, and if their safety and security is threatened, and I feel that that nation or that society cannot possibly say that they have made progress. You know, if the women have to think twice, and if they are, you know, if they fear for their life and for their honor, if they think that, you know, they are likely to be raped, they are likely to come under physical assault, sexual assault, even during broad daylight, that they fear for their, you know, safety. They don't feel safe even in a public transport. Or, you know, when they are taking any other transportation, they are constantly targeted and, you know, they are humiliated, violated. I think, you know, this is a shame. This is indeed, you know, the society's responsibility to demand that those who are in the position of power and authority, those who are entrusted with the task to guarantee citizens' safety, do their job and bring these perpetrators to justice, not allow them to go scot-free and accuse the rape victims. I mean, can you, this is appalling in my view, that the rape victims are humiliated. Their families, not only that, you know, they have to put up with the tragedy and trauma of their daughter being raped, but they're also forced to accept that their daughter is at fault, not the offenders. I mean, this got to be insane that the society would allow such things to happen. And then the whole idea of, you know, protecting the identity, which I think is another political tactic. The identity of the rape victim. The identity of the rape victim is as if the rape victim is the one who is at fault. When she is not at fault, it's the society, the ones who are in the position of power and authority. They allow these things to happen. This is not something dishonorable of the rape victim. This is something that has a profound impact on those who are the wheeler dealers of power in society. This is a stigma on not on the rape victim, it's a stigma on the society. And those who are, you know, colluding and complicit and in dramatizing and involved in the fabrication and distortion of such matter, they are the ones who are implicating themselves. For this is a direct violation and abuse of power and status in society. There is nothing to be proud of when they are saying that, you know, when the whole discussion about rape, this is not, the rape victim has nothing to be ashamed of, for the rape victim is victimized further by those who think that they are the stakeholders in society. Victimizing the rape victim and tormenting the families of rape victims has become the recent political tactic and practice in society, which is indeed regrettable. Something has really insanely gone wrong. And I say this, those who indulge in such actions, they are only incriminating them. This is self-incrimination for them. As much as they think that, you know, what they are doing is to profess this idea about this gender bias or trying to distort the event or incident. I mean, there cannot be anything more dishonorable than the verdicts from the judiciary, letting the offenders in rape cases and suggesting to the rape victims about, you know, reconciliation with the offenders. I mean, I cannot believe that this is all happening, and supposedly, you know, this is all coming from the great minds in society. If this is what is reflective of great minds, what are they going to do next? All that they need to do is think about their own family, their own female members in their own family. That could be their wife, their mother, their sister, their daughter, daughter-in-law. Will they conform or endorse such decisions? If any one of their own family members were to be the victim? Or is that what they will do? Perhaps this is what they might do. That just goes to prove what kind of respect they have towards their own female members in their family. If you respect your own wife or your mother or sister or daughter, you would think twice before violating other women's rights. Before humiliating another woman, for whatever reason that might be. Whatever is happening in society, in the contemporary era, is definitely not reflective of progress. Could you possibly consider this as progress? This is all happening in cities. This is not somewhere in, you know, remote regions, locations, isolated from the rest of the world. This is all happening in the major metropolitan cities where the population is considered to be educated, literate. They call themselves respectable. But then, women cannot even move around without fearing for their life and safeguarding their honor. So in this respect, I say, where is the film industry? Why can't you, you know, make a film and project about this kind of unruly conduct and behavior and slam this as completely unacceptable? This is not your choice, perhaps. On the contrary, only promoting more violence and violations against women. It all comes down to profit, is it? And profitability. Misuse of power. Misinterpreting political mandate. And then for those who have the status in society, to them, you know, they also abuse their status with their collusion and complicity in such situations. Even amongst them, there are many women, which is a contradiction to the characteristics of womanhood. In the social, with the social dilemma that women are dealing with in the present world, there are women who, again, economic conditions are do not allow them to achieve their dreams, and when they are when they have to go along with the family customs and practices, then there are issues of, there are more issues like, you know, dowry debts. If the woman is not able to fulfill the demands of the groom's family, the man she is married to and expected to fulfill the marriage vows, somehow the marriage vows only happens to work one way, not the other way as well. It's not meant to be both ways. It's only the one way. For some women, it becomes a one-way street with a dead end, literally, if she is not meeting the demands placed by the groom's family in terms of their economic, you know, expectations by through dowry where the woman is expected to bring wealth with her, assets that can be cashed by the groom's family. So, as I said, this is women's plight is not just restricted to one society, but many worldwide women are still suffering, and they are forced to accept a miserable existence as the way of life. What politics or the society in general doing when, you know, the voices of these women are either suppressed or, you know, ignored? I know that there are many who do reach out to these women in such conditions and situation, and I have to say, you know, they have to be recognized and acknowledged for their efforts and their constant support and their outreach to these women in distress. But then my question is to those who are in a position of power and authority, and even through legislations and laws that they are expected to provide, as I mentioned in this rape instance, where the offenders should be brought to justice and not vindicated or exonerated, promoting crimes of this sort to proliferate in society. How is this, you know, helping women? You know, when you are endangering women's safety. So I have to say that, you know, such actions, deplorable actions and decisions in society is only indicative of them defying their own intelligence. So at least for that sake, you know, I guess they need to be judicious in executing and exercising their judicial powers. On that note, I would like to end this discussion about womanhood and the plight of women in different parts of the world. I will be back with the other issues and present my thoughts with all of you. Thank you for your attention.